The Lord is near. Combining the focus of the consecration team and the first Sunday of Advent, the theme today is our hope in the nearness of Christ. Anticipation, Christ is coming, it's Advent, Christ is going to be born among us. And realization, Christ is with us, Christ is near to you, he's as close to you as your own self, are the two realities of living between the first coming of Christ in mercy and the second coming of Christ in judgment. Living in gentleness and peace with joy is the only outcome by whatever path each of us take to that outcome. The Lord is near to us in our hearts, and he is also very near to coming and returning in glory. In a previous generation, fathers wouldn't ask their daughters how they were. How is your life? Are you doing well? They would say to them, and this is really sexist, so forgive me, fathers. They would say to them, did you change the oil in your car recently? They would say, are your tires inflated? Do you have enough gas? That was the way that fathers of a previous generation would often express their love and their concern for their children. Our passage this morning in Philippians isn't unusual or unoriginal. Paul signs off on his letter with the kind of thing that a father would say that you've heard before. It's still important. It's really vital. He says this all the time. Are you joyful? Are you thankful? Is your heart full of thanksgiving? How are you doing? That's what Paul always says. Although we are already living in the kingdom of God by God's grace, the kingdom is not fully realized around us, and our habits matter. If the sign says, no spitting on the sidewalks, then you know that 100 years ago or 50 years ago or yesterday, somebody spit on the sidewalk and people didn't like it. So if Paul says, rejoice, and I'm saying it again, rejoice, that means somebody wasn't rejoicing. Women don't like it when random passing men say to them, you would be so much prettier if you were smiling. Do you have any particular response when Paul tells you, rejoice? You should be rejoicing. You would be so much more happy if you could rejoice. What are the alternatives to rejoicing and not being anxious and praying with thanksgiving? What's the opposite? Critical spirit? Anxiety? Fear? Ruthless ambition? Numbness? Is living in Christ any different from determining to have a positive attitude and making the best of a situation? Something happens to us when we respond to God's mercies. We change, but we are still subject to pride and fear, which issues out of our hearts. Is our heart truly purified in essence, or is it our habits and maintenance that have changed? We may have anxiety about the subjective pride and fear coming out of our hearts. It's like, wow, I thought I was beyond that. I used to struggle with that, and suddenly, whoa, here it comes again. Or we may have anxiety about the objective reality of a very cruel and evil world. People sleep very well at night after taking the last dollar of a senior citizen. It's a very cruel world. These require both the subjective surprises that come out of our heart and the objective cruelties of the world require ongoing prayer and petition and requests along with thanksgiving. A writer named Nora Ephron, who is very well-groomed and attractive, said that only 8 hours of weekly maintenance on her physical appearance kept her from looking the same as any woman who was living on the street. It's not one and done. but a daily and weekly and monthly routine that keeps us at peace in our hearts and in our lives. We may be living in Christ, but hair and nails and smells keep growing out of our bodies. Living in Christ means dealing with the realities of what continues to come out of our hearts. Joy, peace, and thanksgiving are not survival mechanisms based on denying everything that is ugly about the world in case God's reputation or my personal public image is damaged. Joy and thanksgiving are a daily, necessary, routine maintenance by which God gives us peace. This is the way of life in which all the resources that God has placed within our bodies, minds, and spirits are consecrated to God. All the things that you have written, and some of the things you know you have a gift, but you thought you were being humble by not writing it down, right? All of the things, and you know, sometimes our weaknesses, like if I've made a really dreadful mistake in one of my relationships and I've had my heart broken, that is a resource then for somebody else. If you don't need to be proud about it, our strengths and our weaknesses can become resources for God's mercies. Our attention is on seeing and touching and hearing, smelling and tasting what God wants in any particular situation, and joyfully, insofar as we are able, being part of God's work. Our resources are not devoted to improving ourselves. Let's see, I'm going to work on my character, or protecting ourselves. Don't look at me. I don't want you to see this part. I'm only going to show you good things. But to accepting and cooperating with what God is doing in our lives. What ambitions or goals do you and I have that would keep us from the life that Paul urges on us? Be joyful, be thankful, pray with thanksgiving. What would you be doing if you do not rejoice, if you do not pray, if you are not thankful? What would you be doing? The Holy Spirit teaches us to set out on this journey. This way of life is only a vision or a fantasy in a sense, because we are so far from living in the freedom that God lays before us. And evil is so powerful in our world, but we determine to begin this obedience. And secondly, we walk together. We set down this path, even if we are alone. We can't imagine how we're ever going to make it. We're going to be destroyed by indifference and evil, but we set down the path, and it is in the community of faith that God brings around us that we see how the kingdom of God sustains each member and grows together. And even then, it isn't enough. We keep our heads up. We are still watching and waiting, because even the best of individual and community Christian discipleship is not yet the fullness of the kingdom of God. We are between times, and it is not our efforts and our holiness and our beautiful community that will bring the return, that will bring justice to this world, but it's the return of Christ which will be the final stage. This means humility and humor, because as earnest as we are, even the most sanctified person is still very much the same as the average person, except for the disciplines which God builds into our lives. This is a great community. You've had the courage to write down your name and attach it to a puzzle and to say the things that you love to do. May God continue to bless our community. And don't forget, you're much more beautiful when you're joyful.